Welcome back to the Edge Radio program with your host, Daniel Locke.
We're talking with Tex Mars, talking about Codex Magica, secret signs, symbols, and hidden codes of the Illuminati. And as we bring him on the line, we're going to talk to him about that. Tex, welcome back.
Thank you, Daniel. Glad to be back.
Well, as I said, we have numbers of questions for you, Tex. And just of note, you mentioned the Scottish Rite here in Indianapolis. We have one of the largest Scottish Rite temples in the country. And then we have a very large Masonic lodge called the Murat Temple, and we have the circle, and in fact, the whole city of Indianapolis was laid out by Masons, and of course, you know, we have the Indianapolis Baptist Temple, which is one of the largest churches ever seized by the U.S. government.
That's true. Indianapolis is very, very thick in all those areas of the Masonic order and so forth. And so, maybe I hope people are listening, because right now they're in Indianapolis, and it'll be very controversial. But Masons themselves, of course, they don't want to call in because they're afraid that you'll ask them questions. And, because there is a secret society. And sadly, as I show in my book, Codex Magica, they themselves have been hoodwinked. And in fact, at a very early level in their training, they have a blindfold put over their eyes and a cable tow put around their neck, and they're hauled back and forth and told that they're blind, and that they are blinded, because at each step of their 33 rituals, they are given certain clues. But even Albert Pike, their former Sovereign Grand Commander, said that they are deceived on purpose. Now, I don't think I'd want to join a secret society in which they told you right off the bat, we're going to deceive you. And that's basically what he says in his book, Morals and Dogma.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tex, I have dozens of questions here coming in from our listeners worldwide. And, I don't know, you probably have got the information too as well, but some of our listeners in other countries like Australia and England and the Netherlands, they say that this type of broadcast is virtually banned over there. Sort of like California, the liberal laws are first rolled out there, or New York, and then they come to the heartland one way or another. But as we get into these questions, here's one for you. It says, on the back of the dollar bill, the illuminated ones, the few, rule the many. This is not U.S. money. It's a Federal Reserve note. Do you believe we'll ever get back to the gold and silver standard?
Well, there's a possibility, but remember, who owns the gold? And I know that people who are selling gold and everything will try to tell you that gold is the only thing that the elite don't own, but don't believe that for a moment. The International Bank of Settlements in Basel, Switzerland has an incredible store of gold, and the central banks of this earth, and the United States is the most powerful, of course, with our Federal Reserve, control the gold spigot. And right now, with the oil price going up, commodities and so forth, gold has hit a high not seen for since it was X75 back a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Now it's been 600. I'm not saying not to buy gold, but I'd be very leery. Remember, the Illuminati control the gold market. The Rothschilds in London and Paris set the price of gold even to this day.
Mm-hmm. Tex, is there still the same amount of gold in Fort Knox as there was 50 years ago?
Oh, no, not at all. No, not at all. Now, remember, it's the Federal Reserve Board that conducts the audit, and I think they've only had one or two audits. The GAO of Congress may have audited it one time. I can't remember now. But you can't trust those audits, so they're not going to allow independent auditors in there to count the gold of Fort Knox.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's all gone, after we went off the gold standard.
Yeah.
Especially during the Nixon years.
All right.
He was forced to do certain things. I believe we've really lost the way there. So
okay.
I don't think really gold or paper, again, people would disagree with me on this. I will say this, that there's a strong possibility that JFK did secretly attack the Federal Reserve System by having money printed up, currency printed up at the U.S. Treasury. And some people say that was his undoing, and I would not doubt it at all, because they have a very close control of the money supply, and they don't want people tinkering with it. Lincoln also did that, you know.
Yeah.
Put out the U.S. Treasury notes. And Andrew Jackson, of course, made a huge war against the bankers. He said, we will rout you out. So we've had a few presents of courage, but not lately.
Yeah. Everyone, you're listening to Tex Mars on our Newsmaker line, and don't forget our third hour, Captain May of the Ghost Troop will be on the line here in the third hour. Tex, have you heard that the White House is on plot 666 in Washington, D.C.? Is that true?
Yes, they are. To a certain, yes, they are on plot 666. That's true. Everything in Washington, D.C. was laid out. There actually were four groups. Many people will talk about the Masons, but there really were four groups. And all of these groups, you know, according to the Hegelian dialectic, we could call it, seem to be in competition with each other. But incredibly, Satan must have been performing his horrible miracles. All of these groups got together. They chose Washington, D.C., specifically because of where it's set. Everything is laid out in Washington, D.C. in an occult manner. Even all the monuments and the architecture there is occult designed. And it ultimately is the worship of the great goddess, Mystery Babylon the Great. Mm-hmm. And, of course, one of her names, of course, was Columbia. And they established that city in the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
It's shaped in the form of a diamond. Because when you, as I show in Codex Magica, my new book, when you take the two triangles and you juxtapose them together, you get a diamond. If you continue melding them together in what let's just call it a sexually integrated act, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but remember, the Illuminati are basically a sex cult. And when you do that, you get the Jewish Star of David, of course, a six-pointed star, also called the Solomon's Hex, or the Witch's Hex, Solomon's Star, the Star of David, and all kinds of names. The Kabbalists will call it. None of it's biblical, of course.
Yeah.
None of it is in the scriptures. But,
yeah.
But that's the reason they chose it, and they made it city outlines in that form.
Yeah. Well, Tex, is it, as some have said, the Washington Monument is a phallic symbol? And if so, what is that phallic symbol impregnating?
Well, it is an obelisk. And the Egyptian obelisks were all in worship of the great sun god. And that great sun god, of course, his all-seeing eye is on a $1 bill. That's what one person was referring to, I guess, that called in earlier. The obelisk, though, is actually impregnating the earth. The obelisk is in the earth.
With what? What is it impregnating the earth with?
Well, it's the phallic symbol, so it's impregnating the earth with the seed. And the seed that will be produced, of course, will be these man gods. The man gods on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they believe they are.
Mm-hmm.
The Illuminati. They are the seed. You know, the Bible talks about the seed of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has to counterfeit this, so he has his own seed as well. And so the earth is impregnated.
Yeah.
So it gets into a real complex theology. But that's what basically was being impregnated.
Okay. Here's a question.
And by the way, you know, the symbol of that, the woman springing up from the earth, is the U.S. Capitol building. There you have the great dome, which is the breast of the woman. And then on top is the goddess herself. We have the great goddess. And the phallic symbol, which impregnates the goddess, is directly across from her, you know. And then there's the reflecting pool.
Is that Diana up there?
Well, that actually is Athena.
Okay.
In her goddess of war format. But it is Diana. Remember, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts of the Bible said that the people of Ephesians, the people of Ephesus in Greece, they worshipped the goddess Diana, whom all the world worshipped. That's actually what it says in the Bible. The whole world worshiped Diana, but they worshiped her under many different names. You know, she was Venus, the goddess of love. She was Isis, the great goddess of Egypt. She was Kuan Yin, worshiped in China. She was Amaterasu, the great sun goddess, worshiped in Japan. So Paul was saying, this is the goddess that everybody worships. But in Ephesus, they worshiped her as Diana. It's very interesting that in the Islamic faith, the imams seem to have forgotten, because you ask them, they have no knowledge, but ask them what the crescent moon is and the star. That's their symbol, the crescent moon and the star.
Right.
And of course, it all refers to Diana, the great witchcraft goddess, the goddess of love. And even today in witchcraft sects here in the United States, they all worship Diana, as well as Pan, the horned god of the north.
Well, see, that's interesting you say that. I was just thinking, we had a guest on the show, The Edge, Stephen Schroeder, who investigated the history of Indianapolis, Indiana, and right in our own city park, the government had purchased a statue of the Pan god. So we had Pan god in the park, and he challenged him on it. Said, "What is the government doing buying that statue?" And then, of course, he also said that this is our city and state has nothing to do with Indians. And in fact, because Masons laid out Indianapolis like they did, and we have all these obelisks. I think we have we're the second in the country on obelisks, but it's actually in Diana. Polis in Diana, not Indiana, Indianapolis. You know, I mean, it's nothing to do with Indians. It's Diana, and right on our circle center, there is a statue at the very top of our monument, and it is a woman facing south, and that is obviously Diana. So this is steeped in paganism here in Indianapolis, and that's one reason I don't mind sticking it to the man here on this show, because we're broadcasting right from the heart of the beast. Tex, I've got this number, or this question here. Says, is the government covering up UFO black projects, and what other countries have UFOs given their technology to?
Well, the first question is America covering up? Of course we know they are, because so many people have gotten information. They've asked under the Freedom of Information Act about UFOs, especially some of the secret projects from Roswell all the way to today, and you get back documents with much of it. What do they call it? Redacted, you know, which is a big term meaning we're going to continue to cover up this. And so they give you, you know, 500 pages that you've asked for, and, you know, a total of 480 are all covered up with black ink. You know, they won't let you see those.
Yeah, we've all seen
so
that.
So they're certainly covering up all kinds of secrets. So, as I, you know, we were explaining on the first hour, it's interesting that even the President of the United States does not have access to the National Archives. If not him, who does? I'd like that question answered myself. who is able to go in other than the President? Richard Nixon was going to send in safecrackers to get out information about Pearl Harbor, and the JFK assassination and what happened in Cuba with the Bay of Pigs. So, if Nixon as president couldn't get in, of course there's secrets about UFOs. And we know that whatever a person's opinion is of UFOs, no one can deny the fact that we as Americans, in a country that prides itself on free speech, have been denied a huge number of secrets in this area. Now, the second question the person asked of...
Well, I'll tell you what, now let's just go into this next question, this next writer. It says, it was said that Nancy Reagan was involved with the occult, but that they also heard that Ronald Reagan read the Bible daily. Was Ronald Reagan involved with those occult meetings, or were they completely separate people there?
Well, first of all, remember, many, many Christians, so-called, compartmentalized magic. And, you know, I remember reading Aleister Crowley. He was the horrible British Satanist. He called himself Mr. 666, the wickedest man on the planet, performed all kind of rituals to the devil. But he one time wrote that he didn't see any problem in believing as a Christian. He said, "I can be a Christian and a Satanist at the same time." Well, of course, that's impossible, but here you get into the crooked mindset of these people. So Ronald Reagan didn't mind at all quoting from the Old Testament, even talking about Bible prophecy and Armageddon. At the same time, his wife was telling him who he could meet with and who he couldn't, and what day and what hour he could meet with people. And she was consulting Miss Gilson, I believe, the Hollywood astrologer to the stars. And there's much more. You know, he carried around a rabbit's foot in his pocket because he thought that would bring him good luck. Mm-hmm. And then remember when he retired, wasn't his address 666 St. Cloud Road or Street there in the California city? Mm-hmm. And at Reagan's request, they changed the number from 666. So he was very superstitious. He believed in all these things. But Nancy got him very deeply involved. Mm-hmm. She had seances in the White House. Now, I'm trying not to dock Reagan so much because, you know, a number of presidents and first ladies have done this. Hillary Clinton is very deep into Satanism and witchcraft, and I've got tremendous evidence of that.
Mm-hmm. Is it true they changed the inauguration so they have to face the obelisk in Washington, D.C.?
Ronald Reagan did that, and a lot of people believe it was significant that he was the first president to change that toward the obelisk. Now, the police in Washington D.C. said it was because of traffic flow or something. That you know, I can believe that that he did it because of that purpose. Again, everything in Washington D.C. is designed. The streets are set out as a satanic pentagram. There's an upside down cross that you find. Everything is occult and astrological, and all of it because the Illuminati worked in the founding of America through Thomas Jefferson and others. Then there was the Scottish Rite Masons through Washington and Hamilton. And then there were the Zionists through Chaim Solomon, who was Rothschild's agent, who funded a number of our founding fathers, gave them money, payoffs, to be very frank about it. And then there was the Jesuit order, the Carroll family. Actually, the land that where Washington, D.C. sits was given by the Carroll family, and the Carrolls were Jesuits and studied in the Jesuit universities over in France.
Yeah. Now, do the Jesuits control the Vatican?
I do not believe that they do, but they have. Remember, there's other orders too. There's the Opus Dei, for example. But the Jesuits have their black pope, he's called, the Jesuit general. He does have great power. It's very interesting, though, that Pope John Paul II, one of the very first things he did when he took office, shows how much the Illuminati backed him. He fired the black pope, so-called, the Jesuit general, the head of the Jesuit order. What the Catholic Church has is the Hegelian dialectic. In other words, you've got to have two parties operating. All of the Illuminati secret orders, they will create one secret order, then they'll have to create another as controlled opposition. The Opus Dei is the right wing, the Jesuit order is the left wing. So you have these two orders. Both of them are revolutionary and dictatorial, totalitarian evil, but each has a different, you know, one is sort of pro-capitalist, the other is pro-socialist. But we get back to really the Illuminati elite, the small cabal that runs both.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's a question from North Carolina. It says, do you know anything of the symbology of the Illuminist depiction of the so-called Last Supper portrait and the hand signs of the characters?
Well, you know, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, all these people were involved with secret societies. And I have studied that. I know with the Da Vinci Code, so many people are really fascinated in that. I am positive that Da Vinci has secret signs in a lot of his paintings. Raphael, all of the great artists did. You know, I was sort of shocked at Daniel when I visited the Vatican the first time, and there was the statue of Moses. You know, Moses from the Bible by Michelangelo, and I looked and Moses had horns. You know, it didn't quite impress me to be there in St. Peter's Cathedral, you know, the bastion of Roman Catholicism, and there was Michelangelo's statue of Moses with horns. I thought, I don't think this is quite correct. it's fascinating how much of the artwork that we see is embedded with secret codes and language and signs. And I hope to do a book sometime in the future about that, really study that more in depth.
Yeah. Tex, when you're writing these books and you're getting your information, do you feel like there's an opposition to what you're doing? Was there any attempt to stop the writing of the book, the Codex Magica?
None whatsoever. No, I'll have to say anything that kept me from getting it out. You know, I mentioned that it took me 5 whole years, mm-hmm. which is very unusual for me, having written some 42 books now with Codex.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, it was just that I wanted to make sure things were as accurate as I could get them. And I kept coming up on more and more research in depth. And, you know, when I'm exposing the so-called Christian right, as well as those who would have, you know, would be certainly not counted in the Christian ranks. And some of the people here are really, we're talking about some big, big names all the way back in history that I've exposed as members of secret societies with these devilish signs,
yeah.
symbols.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned.
And I knew I was going to get opposition. It hasn't really come yet, although I'm already beginning to see. You know, some of the largest book chains, you know, their book buyers are sort of giving us the, oh, I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're beginning to get big people to complain about your book.
All right. Well, let me ask you another way. Have you had any supernatural interference with your life as a result of what you do?
You mean over the years, Daniel, since I've been involved in exposing these secret societies and so forth?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to be melodramatic and, you know, act like my life is in jeopardy, because I really do feel protected by God. Now, hey, you could hear about me being assassinated tomorrow morning, and I feel like I'm in God's, the palm of his hand, whatever he wants, and that would be his will, and hey, I'm gonna keep my doors locked. I mean, I'm not gonna make it easy on them, but, you know, they have ways to do things, if they really want you, but remember, God is much more powerful than they. Over the years, you know, I've come into work in the morning and I've seen witchcraft artifacts, let's say. I can see when they had witchcraft ceremonies on the porch of our ministry offices, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember for 2 or 3 weeks, some homosexual network in San Francisco bombarded us with obscene phone calls, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that... Let's put it this way, you know, I know my phones are tapped quite often, and you know, you just have to live your life as an open book, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no way to get away from them anyway, so, you know.
No, there's really not, and you know, I wouldn't doubt if they're, you know, they've put cameras in my bedrooms and such, but you know, I'm not paranoid on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do their worst.
Yeah.
But I think it's fascinating to me that, you know, let's face it, they can come put a 50 caliber machine gun in your backyard secretly while you're at work and then claim they found it, right?
Right.
And if they, but there must be a supernatural power, and I believe it's God protecting some of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess to drill the question down one more time, then we move on. But if indeed these groups, the Illuminists, the Skull and Bones, that with their symbols and symbology, their connection to the occult and the other side, is it possible that they have conjured anything from the other side to cause you grief? I mean, for instance, you can have phones tapped and you can have your computer hacked into and they can watch you, but those are all carnal, natural events that could happen anyway. But I'm talking about, and we'll just move on, if you can answer quickly, I suppose, but did you see shadows? Have you seen anything on that order? Have you seen doors shut, you know, when you're getting ready to write something or make a call to an important person? Anything on that order?
Every time I get ready to write a new book that I know is going to be a very important book, things begin to happen. Yeah, to answer your question, I see what you're saying. I was working on a carnal basis. When you get now into the demonic world, absolutely. Let me give you, do we have a couple of minutes to talk about that?
Yeah, we got about 25 minutes.
Okay. Well, first of all, the first thing that happened to me before I wrote my book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, now remember this was a number one Christian bestseller, sold hundreds of thousands of copies. I was exposing the occult world for the first time. And I knew this book was very, very important. and I was writing it and researching it, and wow, I was astounded myself at what I was finding. And I remember going to bed one night. Now, I'm not really a superstitious guy, okay?
Right.
You know, I realize there are such things as demon powers. There are other beings out there. I know that. But I've never really worried about them, so I'm not really a supernatural thinker. However, my wife and I went to bed, and I had been studying. It must have been 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I was sort of tired, and I'd been studying and researching and writing. I was, you know, very excited about what I was writing, but I knew it was very frightening. I went to bed, and I hadn't gone to sleep yet. I was just putting my head back on my pillow, you know, as crazy as this may sound, but Daniel, you asked me the question, so let me give you the answer.
All right.
For the first time in my life, something happened that was incredible. There were three beings that entered my bedroom, and they were right beside me, standing there. Now, it may sound comical, but listen, it was not very funny to me. These three beings wore what appeared to be black suits. They were not big. They were sort of small. They were not dwarfs. They were, you know, average size. But they were, I knew they were devils. I knew they were demons because they were shrouded in flame, wearing black, right beside me. And I'll tell you, I must have been frozen or something. I looked and I was staring at what must have been their leader right in his eyes. And I don't know whether he spoke to me telepathically, Daniel, or whether, you know, my wife was, she had been in bed for 2 or 3 hours. She was asleep. It must have been telepathically. But he said to me, "We know what you're writing in this book. We don't want you to publish this book. If you publish this book, we will hurt you. And we know how to hurt you." And I'll tell you, I for a moment, when he said that, I knew he was telling the truth. I didn't know what they were going to do, but I believed him. I believed they knew how to hurt me. Whatever it was, they knew how to hurt me. Now, I'll tell you what I did. I don't believe it was in the natural world I did this. It had to be in the spiritual world. But my immediate response, I don't know if it was me. I don't think it was. I believe, you know how the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will speak for you. I spoke to that devil. That's what he was, this being.
Mm-hmm.
And it came, I don't know, out of my mind, but I said to him, "You cannot hurt me. Leave me alone. I belong to Jesus Christ, my Lord." And I'll tell you, Daniel, those three beings disappeared immediately. It was like poof. It was incredible. Now, immediately, my thought system was this. Isn't this wonderful? I almost felt like smiling. I felt, the only other feeling I had, I remember when I was a little kid, for the first time I heard about Santa Claus, and I thought, you know, on Christmas Eve night, boy, tomorrow morning I'm going to go to sleep because Santa's going to be here. Well, that's the way I went to sleep. It was like an instant sleep with a smile on my face, as if to say, wow, God is so much stronger than devil. Wow, isn't this wonderful? I'm protected by God. And I'll tell you, after that I didn't have any problem in that book. Now, after that book, I began to write a second book. One night, my wife and I were in bed together, and we heard this strange music. And it was about 1:30 in the morning, and there was nobody for any music, but it was coming from outside of our house. And Daniel, I want to tell you something. It makes me want to cry to tell you this was the most frightening music I had ever heard. I have never heard music like this. You have never heard music like this. No one on earth has ever heard music unless they heard it from devils. I don't know what kind of music they have in hell, but let me tell you something. This was music from hell. The sound that was made, people cannot make sound like that. It was music. It was instrumental. But it was so frightening. I really was frightened. And my wife woke up. She heard it too. She said, "Tex, what is that noise? What is that music?" And I said, "I don't know, but it's getting closer." And it got closer, and it got closer. And it was so loud, it was right outside our window. You don't want to hear this music. It will make you it will make you cry. It's so frightening. And we began to pray and ask God to intervene and help us. And that music left. It became silent and left. The third incident I had, I was in Canada, up in the Toronto area at a prophecy conference. And while we were in a hotel room, an incredible smell came in. It was the worst smell I had ever smelled in my life. You know, I thought it was from the bathroom over there. There was nothing in there. And again, we prayed. And that smell left us. Now, Daniel, some people say, well, you have a vivid imagination. Those were the only three times I know of I've ever had incidents like this in my life. It was always right in the midst of some huge project I was working on that would expose evil. And that's when I believe that I had those things. But I keep this in mind. It could have been that God, for his own reasons, allowed the door of evil to open up just a bit. Mm-hmm. So that God could assure me, give me confidence that text, all you have to do is pray. Let me bring you fourth time out now that I recall it. We're talking about this. This is the first time I've ever had an opportunity to talk about these on the air. Good. I went to the largest occult bookstore in the world. The only other one like it is the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in L.A., Los Angeles. This is a bookstore in Austin, Texas. It builds itself as the world's largest occult New Age bookstore. I went in there. I was in a hurry. I wanted to get some material. I was researching a huge bookstore. It has Hindu-like incense, Hindu music, all kind of stuff going on. They have all kind of satanic books. I did not pray. Usually I prayed just a short prayer before I went into one of those places. This time I did not pray. I went in, and I no sooner got in the door, I was looking at shelves, terrific pressure on my head, on my forehead, right above my eyes, as if something was trying to enter me. And there I stopped what I was doing. I just closed my eyes, and I said, Lord Jesus, I apologize to you for not praying. You know, I took things for granted, and I came in here, and now I'm being attacked. And please help me. And I'll tell you, that immediately went away. That feeling went away. The demon spirit left me alone. So those are the incidents that I can remember. I guess there are four in number and all, as I recall them, Daniel.
Interesting. Question for you, and we have numbers of them. We won't be able to get to all of them, but we'll just go ahead and try to rapid fire on. Have you seen any Illuminati symbolism in the Adobe Photoshop programs? I guess there's an all-seeing eye and a black sun.
Well, I don't do my newsletters and such, so I don't work it with Adobe, but Photoshop. But Sandra Myers, who works for me, does. And I know one time she came and said, hey, look at the manual. Look at all these occult signs and such. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you know, it doesn't bother me at all. They're everywhere. They're on our TV programs. Every night I turn on TV and I see dozens of occult symbols and signs. So not a surprise.
Yeah. All right. Do you believe in the rapture?
I do believe in the rapture, but remember, it comes with a lot of baggage by people. You know, there's a lot of people that add all kind of things.
Right.
For example, I remember a little lady came to me at a prophecy conference some years ago. She said to me that she believed that we were going to be raptured out of here in 1988. And it was in 1988. She said, I think it's September, we're going to be raptured. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord comes. She said, oh, I know it's going to be September in 88. And if it's not, I'm going to totally not have faith in God anymore. Well, so there's people who believe in the rapture, but they also, a lot of people come up to me and say, we're not going to go through any hard times, are we? Aren't we going to be raptured? That's what Tim LaHaye says. We don't have to suffer anything. We won't have to worry about a thing. We'll be raptured. Well, of course, that's not biblical at all, Daniel. We've got a pitched battle to fight here, probably. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
In fact, 2 Thessalonians 2 says that we will not be gathered up. There will not be a catching up of the saints until the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is revealed.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen first.
Okay. Can you name any big-name Christian who you perceive to be an Illuminist?
I cannot name one big name Christian that is not an Illuminist.
Wow.
I don't know. You see, they set these people up, whether it's a Robert Schuller, a Billy Graham, a Pat Robertson, a Jerry Falwell. All of these people have their positions because the super rich have chosen them. James Baker. That's why Jim Baker disgraced himself with Jessica Hahn, and also he was about as big a homosexual as you could get going after young boys, but Jessica Hahn was the one that finally brought him down. And remember, he was forced to just sign his entire empire, the PTL network, over to Jerry Falwell. But Jerry Falwell didn't do well with it. He was forced in turn to sign it over to a guy named Clark, who was the treasurer for Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson set up Paul and Jan Crouch, and along with the Bakers. So these are people all connected. Let me tell your people something that may surprise them. When Jim Baker fell and was sentenced to prison, it turned out that all along, all of the land, all of the buildings, everything there was owned by a Orthodox Jew in Canada, a billionaire. He owned it all. Now, there's some very strange things. In Codex Magica, I show a number of Christian leaders giving secret hand signs. Pat Robertson giving the sign, I call it the sign of the devil's claw. It's actually the Entered Apprentice. It's the penalty sign of the second degree of Freemasonry. You'll see him giving the actual sign, and it's on the cover of Time magazine. But there's no denying what it is.
Yeah.
I show from the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry that sign being given. It's the same sign. Whether it's a Benny Hinn, you can go on and on and on. These people are all chosen by the Illuminati.
Unbelievable. Hey, here's a question for you. What do you believe is the underlying reason for our war in Iraq?
There's two reasons for the war in Iraq, these are not theory by me. The first reason is the grand design is that there will be a new world order or a globalist empire, and it will be headquartered in Jerusalem, and it will be the new Israel world empire. And Jerusalem will be its capital. And so they must set up a greater Israel, and their intention is to totally control the oil spigot of the world. So you're seeing the setting up of greater Israel, the new Israel, with control over all the Middle East, all of its oil, and so that's why they rebuilt the pipeline, the oil pipeline, and it goes across western Iraq and goes right on over Jordan and so forth and goes into Israel. And they have built up the port of Haifa, and huge oil tankers will be going in there. And Israel will, and the bankers, along with the oil companies, will be selling huge amounts of oil to India, China, and other world powers, Japan and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why our oil prices have not gone down. It's all being sold through Israel into Asia and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So the oil, and to promote a Zionist world empire, that's why we're in Iraq, and that's why Iran is now being threatened, and of course Saudi Arabia. I have a very incredible picture: the chief rabbi of Jerusalem of Israel giving a secret hand sign as he sat in conference with Egypt's president Mubarak. You've got to see that picture, and what it means is that finger that he lifts, and that picture, it means we Zionist Jews control Egypt and the Arabs, and you must be our slave. That's the meaning, and that actually is one of the signs shown in the book Codex Magica.
And speaking of your book, Tex, how can people get that?
Well, they can go to my website, powerofprophecy.com, or I have another website called conspiracyworld.com, and then of course they could go to a bookstore. It's orderable. The major distributors have it, and just if your bookstore, Barnes & Noble, whatever, don't have it, They can get it in for you in just a couple of days. And it's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com, Target.com. It's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. If a person gets your book, Codex Magica, and some of the other books you've written, Tex, is it possible that their whole view of current events, say, like they would see a secret hand gesture from the president and understand certain words, would they have a more in-depth understanding of things going on right in front of them that they never noticed before?
Oh, absolutely. They'll understand why certain secret coded words are used in inaugural addresses, State of the Union addresses. But more than anything, when they get a Time magazine, Newsweek magazine, or just open up their daily newspaper, they're going to see Masonic handshakes. I actually show all of these different handshakes. They're going to see how, whether it was Lyndon Johnson or Bill Clinton or George Bush, all of them were involved in these secret orders. But everything will come clear to them. I think they'll see the whole world as an occult, magical world. And remember, the Bible says until Jesus comes again, Satan is God of this world. All of these people, Daniel, are his disciples. They are his servants. And you're going to see over 1,000 pictures, and I think it'll become clear. I don't believe there's ever been a book out like this that shows you pictorial evidence of what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we had a previous guest on named Michael Heiser, and then, of course, there's Steve Quayle and David Flynn, and now they all believe in a literal view of Genesis 6, where there were giants in the land as a result of fallen angels sleeping with earth women. Do you believe that these fallen angels were, in fact, aliens?
Aliens? Well, I don't know about aliens, but they certainly were devils. You know, the Bible calls them the sons of God. What it means there is that they were created by God. And angels, of course, were created. You know, it says there that Noah was perfect in his generation. That word there in the King James, and I'm a King James Bible believer, that word generation means race. You can look it up in Strong's Concordance. In his race, in his DNA, in his genetics, was not polluted. You see, these, what we would call devil people, let's just call them aliens, in a very strange way, Scientology and some of these cults are correct. The real secret of Freemasonry is that there is this planet X, Sirius, and it's from there that the great God, the star God, is going to come again. He and his spirit, his people, the aliens, extraterrestrials, will come again. This is actually taught. It is the root of the ancient mystery religions. It is the root of Egyptian belief. It's the root of Freemasonry. And it's what the Illuminati believe. Mm-hmm. And so Genesis 6 warns us about that. That they came in at one time and actually had sex with women. They procreated those they call the men of renown. The great men, the heroes. The Greek mythologies gave them names like Hercules, Apollo. And so they so polluted the world, the Bible says in Genesis, that God himself he found it an abomination. Mm-hmm. That they had polluted the race of men. But Noah had not, his family had not been polluted with this bloodline.
Yep.
And so only Noah was saved. And that's why the flood came upon the earth. Mm-hmm. But it says in the Bible, there were giants in those days and afterward. For his own reasons, God allowed this demonic bloodline to continue even after Noah and the flood. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, whether it was on what we would call UFOs or spaceships, and I think the devil has the incredible technology that we're not familiar with, we don't know anything about. Many of the greatest scientists and inventors in history have been Satanists and have been involved in occult secret societies. And I believe we're given technological secrets by Satan and his angels.
Yeah.
So they're very, very wise in the ways of the world and in that ways of technology. So I take Genesis 6 literally, absolutely.
Okay. Do you think Hal Lindsey was booted from his show by Illuminati agents prepping Christendom for their own destruction?
No, I don't think so. I think Hal Lindsey is very much into the Zionist camp. The simple matter, the Trinity Broadcasting Network has stations in the Muslim world, and they're also very ecumenical. I think they decided to get him off because he was a fanatical Zionist. So it was just a matter that they were trying to be ecumenical.
Tex, just a few minutes ago, when a writer asked you the question, name a big name Christian evangelist or Christian in general who is an Illuminist, and you virtually just said all of them. But wouldn't that mean then that there are millions of followers for each one of those that every one of us could probably name, and there are millions of followers? Are they being kept in some sort of controlled camp, and while the evil forces take over?
Oh, absolutely. And remember, 2 Thessalonians, the Bible says that before the Antichrist 666 comes, two things must happen. First, there will be a great falling away from the truth. And Jesus said, if it were possible, the deception will be so strong, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Daniel, it's very sad to say this, but I believe that 98%, probably, I don't know the exact number, but almost all of those who say they are Christians are not. And they are deceived. Many of them are into these Christian groups because of the money they think they can get. They've heard prosperity gospel preached. These radio and TV evangelists say, send us $1,000 and God will make you a millionaire. He'll give you jets. He'll give you fur coats and you'll be able to take European vacations. You'll ride in yachts on the ocean waves. Just send us money. Send us a seed, and God wants you to be rich. You'll never have to suffer. You'll never even get sick. Just think positive. Make positive confessions. Now, when a man or a woman falls into that, when they desire money more than God, what did Jesus say? Choose between God and mammon, or money. And so you get millions of people that don't really worship Jesus. He's secondary. They want the miracles. They want the power. They want the money. And they're being deceived. And they're going to go right in with it. They will worship the Antichrist. Absolutely.
All right, Tex, we come to the end of our broadcast. Anything you'd like to say in the final minute?
Well, I just want to thank you, Daniel, for being courageous enough to have Tex Mars on. and also for the other guests that you have. And
sure.
The Edge is doing a real service. Whether or not I agree with every one of your guests, I'm sure they don't agree with me. The point, though, is we're here speaking the truth. And I encourage people, you don't have to believe me. Get my book. Maybe if you don't want to buy it, go to a library and ask your library to order it so you can read it. But check it out. Look at the evidence for yourself. We've been deceived far too long in this country. And now there is a movement. I think it's been slowly growing. And I hope it'll mushroom, it'll grow exponentially, and I think I'm looking forward to overthrowing the darkness, and maybe God will give us the grace for that to happen.
Sounds good.
Okay, Daniel, all the best to you and your audience.
All right, good evening.
Okay, good evening.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com. Where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at es4.com. That's es4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.